My name's Catherine Marnie, and I work for CAFOD, which is the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development, part of the Global Caritas family.
Okay, and yesterday you were at the Grand Mosque?
We're on a visit here with three Muslim aid agencies from the UK and ourselves to get a better understanding of what's happening here. And so we made a visit to the central mosque where there are lots of displaced families staying to see how they're living and to get a better understanding of their situation. Whilst we were there, we heard reports coming through that a young Muslim man had been attacked by an anti-Balaka. And as we were talking to people and interviewing them, we could see them getting the reactions. We'd also come up with Caritas, who had Caritas C-A-R, who had brought food and non-food items to support the people who were staying there. We'd hoped that we might be able to have a sort of a presentation or a handover, but it was just far too dangerous for Caritas to be in this area at the time, so they had to leave very quickly. So we left. We finished our interviews, and fortunately, people were very friendly towards us, and you know, there were no problems. But we had to leave in quite, you know, as quick as we could, because things do spread quickly here. And then later on in the evening, we heard that our driver had, on his way home, been attacked, been knocked off his motorbike. In sort of being caught in the middle of revenge attacks around PK5 Bekasank, where this young man had been killed.
Was he actually killed that last night, or did they find his body last night?
No, the young man was killed yesterday afternoon, we're not quite sure exactly what happens, but it sounds like he was mutilated and it was
decapitated and worse.
So
then there were attacks. So there's still Salika elements in the city. I mean, a lot of the Muslims have left Bangui.
A lot of Muslims have left, but there are still settlements around the central mosque and a couple of other sites. I understand that there are still Salika elements around, and there are anti-Balaka moving around as well.
Yeah. And so what are, your group is rather interesting. What are you trying to do with the two groups you came from England with, or UK, excuse me?
So I came out here in November to meet CRS and our partners and understand how CAFOD could get more involved. And we were really aware that one of the most important things to do is raise awareness in the UK of the fact that there is a country, which is the Central African Republic, and what's going on and how important it is for us to take action globally. So I got in touch with an organisation called the Muslim Charities Forum, which is an umbrella organisation for all of the Muslim aid agencies in the UK, and asked them if they wanted to become involved in joint advocacy. And they were really keen, although at the time very few Muslim agencies were involved in the Central African Republic. Historically, there hasn't really been a problem between religions here, so there was always quite a small Muslim population. It's a minority population.
10 or 15% of the population.
Yeah, that's what's been estimated. So at the time, it wasn't necessarily on people's radars, but they were really pleased to have been contacted and keen to keep, you know, abreast of developments. Anyway, as the situations deteriorated and people became aware that the situation for the Muslim community here was really dire, a number of agencies got in touch with the Muslim Charities Forum and wanted to know, you know, how can we get involved, how can we find out about it. And the Muslim Charities Forum directed them to us for background on what's going on and how they can get involved. And we thought this was a great opportunity to work together to see if we can find solutions, because also it mirrors the work of the Interreligious Platform here. You might have heard of them. It's it's a group of the Catholic Archbishop.
I've seen this one. He was traveling with the imam to try and...
That's right, yeah. And the imam and Pastor Nicholas Gireku. So the three of them have been an incredible force for raising awareness of what's happening and promoting unity, both and making sure that the international community takes action. And they've been doing that throughout this country, you know, traveling to hotspots together and saying, you know, we stand together. This is not a religious conflict. This is not our identity. This is not our history. We're neighbours. We're brothers. At the moment, the imam is living with the archbishop. They're incredibly close. And, you know, we'd like to be able to emulate that solidarity in our work together. If we can work together to support that interreligious platform, to support relief efforts here that our partners are delivering, we think it's, you know, it's important that more assistance comes here, but also symbolically to show that globally Muslims and Christians are standing together to not let this divide them.
What are the names of the English, the groups from the UK that you're here with?
Yeah, so we have the Muslim Charities Forum, which is the umbrella organisation. We've got Islamic Relief, and we have Muslim Aid and ourselves from CAFOD.
Okay, and any idea if it's meaningful to the people on the streets that you're meeting that you're here jointly as an interreligious group?
I think very much so. I think, you know, when we went yesterday to the Central Mosque, to the displaced settlement, sitting down from a Catholic organisation, part of the Caritas family, and bringing with us people from the global Muslim community from the UK and saying that we're all concerned and we sit down together and we work together to solve this. Tensions are running really high. People have lost their husbands, wives, sisters, children. But to see that even through that, we want to stand together to make things better, I think it adds an element of encouragement, and I think it puts things in perspective. I mean, it should also be said that there are incredible efforts here, as well as the interreligious platform at that high level. Yesterday we met a forum of a women's group of Muslims, Protestants and Catholics, women who are coming together to spread messages of peace and to show unity, a youth group as well. And the youth group have been doing great work. They've been producing radio broadcasts on a weekly basis and going down to the displaced settlements themselves and trying to calm those fears and talking about, you know, reminding people that these are our neighbours, these are the people that we've grown up with, we went to school with, you know, that people, there was, you know, there's no history of division here. There was intermarriage, people shopped together, lived together, worked together. And those brave people are the ones who are putting themselves on the front line and putting themselves at risk to push that message when it's not a popular one right now, but it's one that people need to hear and start adopting.
The people in the mosque now, are they? Do they feel safe? Are they? They've all been driven from their communities and are taking refuge in the mosque. Most of the other Muslims seem to have already left the capital. Who's protecting these people?
They feel very vulnerable. I mean, the people we were talking to yesterday, you know, emotions are running high, and they're talking about it's impossible to go back to our homes. We're in fear of our lives. We want to go to other countries. That said, there are others who, I mean, CRS have been doing brilliant work with the interreligious platform, and they recently held training for religious leaders, whereby they did a training session for Catholic religious leaders, Protestant religious leaders, and Muslim religious leaders, talking about the need for coexistence, cooperation, and so on, and then bringing all of those three groups together. And you know, we were told how after the Muslim representatives had finished their session, on their way to the session, they had trucks loaded up with all their belongings, ready to leave the country. And at the end of it, after 3 days of talking, reflecting, they realised that they could stay and they wanted to stay, and they unpacked the trucks. That talking and that reflecting and that sharing makes a concrete difference, because it de-escalates the tension, and it's that tension that's bursting out into violent conflict like we saw yesterday.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I've been talking with Catherine
Marnie
from CAFOD in the UK. Thank you.
Thank you.